Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday morning, the 28th of November, 2018. And I have a lot on my mind this morning, which could be dangerous. We reflect on life a lot more as we get older. At least that's been my experience. We reflect on how we were raised, what we were taught. Good morning, Honey Gill. We reflect on what we believe to be the truth and what we believe to be error. We reflect on our families. We reflect on the past. And we think about the future. And so my experience is as we get older, we do tend to reflect a lot more on life. Good morning, Alan Taylor. And I think that reflection is what causes me to write all of this poetry. You know, I've been trying to compile all of these different books into one volume. This is the first volume, and then I've written three other volumes. And trying to get it all into one, but I'm finding that this is merely a result of my reflections. Now, good morning, Peter Sonawana, as well as Charlie Harper. Good morning. And that doesn't mean my reflections are true for anyone else, but they're true for me. But I like to share them with other people. Hopefully there's some relevancy to it. So I want to read a few of these this morning, and hopefully they'll be edifying. That's why I call it Poems for Edification. I hope that they'll be edifying. Good morning, Charlie Harper 3. Anyway, this is entitled Past, Present, and Future Sins. Do you believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of all your past, present, and future sins? Good morning, Sharon Birmingham. If you are one of God's elect, He will grant you repentance when you fail others in Him. So let's give all the credit to our redemption to Him. No, I'm not an antinomian. I fail Him every day. But He always forgives me and puts me on the straight and narrow way. You might say, but Larry, there's no hope for you. But my dear friend, that's just not true. The reason He came was for a sinner like me. He didn't come to call the righteous, but to set the prisoners free. So if you're pointing your finger and saying, why do you do this and why do you do that? The answer, my friend, is I'm not home yet. So I'll forgive you, and you forgive me until we get to heaven for eternity. For this is the sole reason for why Christ came, to save a poor sinner and take on his sin and shame. This life is not a temporary one, you see. He just keeps on forgiving his elect for eternity. Good morning, Gail James. Welcome aboard. The next one is entitled Persecution. Persecution. Many say they would die for Christ. Peter said the same thing, and he denied Christ. When we come to the time when we might have to face persecution, will our response be the same as Peter? Welcome aboard, Mr. Cook. It is my belief from the study of Scripture and the reality of the times we're living in, including the radical homosexual agenda propagated not only by the homosexuals but by the federal government of the United States and the United Nations, that as we as true Christians, we will probably face persecution by our own government in our lifetime. We need to remember that God alone is the only one who we can look to be faithful in our testimony of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In and of ourselves, we can do absolutely nothing and will most certainly compromise our testimony. We know this, and if we are honest, we have failed in our testimony before others many, many times. How should we prepare for the upcoming persecution of Christians in America and throughout the world? We should study the Bible daily, and during our study, pray that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes to the truth of God's Word. We should pray and ask God daily to protect us from the power of Satan, and that He would cause us to live a repentant life. And when we succumb to sin, that He would draw us closer and closer to Him. We should fellowship with those who are committed to the same thing. We should pray that God would cause us to live our life in the light of eternity and not the trivial things of this world. We should constantly remind ourselves that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, memories for eternity is the next one. Memories for eternity. There is an owner of a travel agency in Kansas City whose slogan is, creating memories that last a lifetime. But this lifetime is over and it disappears like fizz. What about eternal memories and having the eternal sunshine? I like this slogan much better than his, to have the eternal sunshine. It is to have everything, everlasting bliss. And not just a space and physical time. We see beautiful scenes captured in pictures here on earth. But we in heaven, we won't need cameras to capture them at all. Heaven's scenes will be eternally with us, not some picture on the Facebook wall. No sad pictures in heaven, no tears or remorse. It will be God's eternal sun shining on us. Time will never stop. It will never run its course. The Savior will be the light of that city where we will need no sun. It will be an eternal picture of communion with the three in one. Good morning, Anna Maria Manilow. Welcome aboard. Well, the next one is called a popularity contest. If you're counting on how many likes you get, someday this counting may leave you in a mess. Because if you stick by the Bible, what I tell you is true, not very many people are going to like you. If you look for the acceptance of those in your church, this looking for acceptance may leave you in a lurch. Your rule of faith and life should be God's Word, and frankly, most people today think that's absurd. If you're awaiting the approval of relatives and friends, the question is where the truth starts and where falsehood ends. Are you trying to ride the fence and compromise? My friend, this is not acceptable in God's eyes. So the next time you look to see how many likes you get, remember one thing, what the Bible is not. It's not a popularity diet for your socially climbed up. It's the Word of God and might cause your social flaw. I think we need to be reminded of that when we look for people's acceptance. That's the wrong place to look. The next one is entitled, I Believe in the Power of Prayer. I believe in the power of prayer when burdens are heavy and sore. For Christ Himself pled to the Father when on the tree our sins He bore. I believe in the power of prayer. Christ did intercede for me. He giveth more grace when we cry out to Him and grants us tender mercy. I believe in the power of prayer to sustain us each passing hour. So pray without ceasing, O fellow believer, for we need His mighty power. Well, I appreciate all the people that have joined us today. And I'm thankful for the power of prayer. The next one is entitled Sheer Amazement. Sheer Amazement. It never ceases to amaze me how man wants to take the glory for the work of his hands. When God's creation spans the heavens and tells the story, it takes a man a whole week to build a shed, while Christ created the entire earth and man in 6 days instead. Yet man says, "Look at what I have done." God says, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the universe, son?" Man brags about doing this and brags about doing that. His pride will bring him down, and someday he'll go splat. He will fall on the ground, for God hates pride. It shows us what man really is on the inside. Let's start giving God the glory for His mighty power and His creation He created in His 5 stars. Well, the next one is entitled The Gift of Salvation. I'll read a couple more of these and then we'll conclude our devotional this morning. The gift of salvation. The Bible is not just another book. It is God-breathed, the living Word of God. In it can be found the words of eternal life. Whether we believe them or not is the question at hand. The Bible says we are born and conceived in sin, and that all men died spiritually in Adam, and all who are made alive in Christ. What does it mean to be made alive in Christ? The Bible does not say that faith, belief, or repentance saves you. It does say that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. And it does say that all that the Father hath given Him will come to Him. And all that come to Him He will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also says you must be born again. So the Bible says that the first thing that must happen to a sinner is that he must be born again, and then the sinner will receive faith to believe that Christ died for his or her sins and confess that they are a sinner and trust in the completed work of Christ on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for their sins. When this happens, the sinner becomes a new creature in Christ. He or she is no longer under condemnation, and they have received forgiveness on the merits of God's gift to them. And he or she was foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Amen. Well, the last one I'm going to do, I believe, excuse me. Last one I'm going to do is entitled Wonderful Grace. Wonderful Grace. Good note to leave on, or to conclude today on anyway. What awesome, wonderful, magnificent grace God has bestowed upon us, who were dead in our trespasses and sin, to choose us before the creation of the world, before our life would even begin. To be adopted into His family from the beginning to the very end. Excuse me. How can our tongues describe this marvelous thing He did for you and me? To send His Son to die and redeem us for eternity? By shedding His precious blood on the cruel and rugged tree and paid the greatest ransom possible to set our souls free. Amazing grace, amazing love, so merciful to you and me, who deserve to die an eternal death and experience awful suffering in hell, but God gave us to His Son And now we sing thanks to Calvary with our souls. It is well. A million years from now, we will still be praising Him for delivering us from death and the bondage of sin. All glory be to the Lamb who bled and died for you and me. Our praises will ring out for all eternity. Well, as we reflect on these things, may God, in His mercy and grace, sustain us throughout our lives. God bless.